Today's reading is taken from the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 to 44, and this can be found on page 1009 in the Pew Bibles. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000.
Do please keep your Bibles open at Mark chapter 6. I'll be referring to it in a short while. This week we had tree surgeons doing some work in the rectory garden. They were just outside my office window, and I got so distracted by them, I actually started considering a career in tree surgery. However, despite this huge distraction, I was struck at how thoroughly they prepared. They sharpened their chainsaws meticulously. They made sure there were no kinks in their ropes. And they made sure that the rope that they threw up into the tree was attached to a solid branch. But they had to. They had to trust their equipment. They had to trust the branch that they were going to hang off because their life depended on it. June the 8th, who are you putting your trust in? Theresa May, Jeremy Corbyn, or Tim Farron? It's a crucial vote. Brexit is approaching, and it's right that we trust our future leader to lead us through this next stage. It's a huge vote. We listen to the politicians, we analyse their words, and then we impart our trust in them. And we impart our trust in them even when we know that some of their promises will be false. We impart our trust in them when we know they make mistakes. We impart our trust in them even when we know they have messed up lives. Or maybe you're like me, and you really struggle to trust them, and you really struggle to listen to them. Don't we live in a world where we struggle to trust people? Maybe a politician, maybe your boss at work, or maybe your spouse. We struggle to trust people. But this passage teaches us great truths about a leader who we can look to, who we can listen to, and who we can trust. On the back of your news sheet, within your service sheet, you'll find the sermon outline. Please do use this. So on to our first point. Jesus is our compassionate shepherd, so listen to him. Jesus is our compassionate shepherd, so listen to him. Imagine you're a disciple. You've been following Jesus around for a while now. You saw the time he restored a man with a severed spine, and you saw him walk again. You saw the town leper who had been ostracized by his family and by his friends healed and cleansed from the disease. You heard Jesus' parables, and you witnessed people flocking to him. You're now with some other disciples, and you're with Jesus also. You're feeling pretty tired, pretty hungry. Your stomach is grumbling, so much so because you've been teaching others that you've had no time to grab some food. You're now ready for a break. You're starting to get fidgety. Jesus looks at you. He recognizes that you look a bit weary. He can hear your stomach grumbling. And he says, come on, guys, let's take ourselves off to a quiet place. Let's go and grab some food. Let's grab some rest. You then look to your left and you see this calm, reflective lake. You jump into a wooden, clapped-out boat. Actually, you step in with one foot slowly, not making sure you don't leave that other foot behind, so you do the splits. In the distance, as you're setting off, you see some people have noticed you set off. They start pointing at you, but then you realize they're actually pointing at Jesus. They then disappear over the brow of the hill. And then a couple of minutes later, more and more people start coming over this brow of the hill. 10, 20, 50, 100. They then start running along the shoreline, picking up people. You're starting to think, oh no, they're following us. I tried to get away from these people. Give us a break, please. You then eventually make it to the other side of the lake. But this small crowd that you initially saw as you set off has multiplied and multiplied. It's like those crowds you see gathered at Glastonbury on the hillside. And you're probably thinking to yourself, let's just drop the anchor here. Let's just rest on the water here. We're not going to those people. I don't want to be teaching them. But the boat progresses towards the shoreline. It wedges itself up onto the sand. And you're hoping that Jesus stands up and says, hang on, guys, I've done my 9 till 5 today. And so have my mates here, actually, so we're not going to teach you. Give us a rest. But look down to verse 34. What does Jesus do? When Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like a sheep without a shepherd. Not again, Jesus, you'll be saying. Come on, give us a rest, man. It's a crazy scene, isn't it? Thousands of people gathered on a hillside, and Jesus looks on them with compassion. They are like a sheep without a shepherd. Their needs above his. His rest forsaken, their needs met. During my gap year, I got to spend 5 months on a farm. Probably some of the most grueling and physically demanding months of my life. I was up at 6 a.m. every morning. I used to cycle to work on the cold November mornings. I was often getting battered by the horizontal rain of the South Downs. My hands were blistered and cracked, so much so that each evening I'd go home and bathe them in oil, cooking oil. My legs were absolutely sore every day. My back was wrecked. And the worst thing of all was that I was just doing this for some sheep. Thankfully, I only had to do this for 5 months. However, the shepherd on the farm was doing this 365 days a year, no rest, no break, always caring for his sheep. Jesus' response to these people is that of a shepherd. He cares dearly for them. He shows compassion towards them. And he does this by teaching them and then feeding them. Now, we don't necessarily know why these people looked like a sheep without a shepherd, but Jesus' response gives us an indication. Verse 34, just at the end of verse 34, he began teaching them many things. Jesus recognizes that by teaching them, they will be showing compassion. Their need is a spiritual one. They don't look like shabby sheep with foot rot and diseases. No, their problem is internal. Their problem is with their hearts. Throughout Mark, we've seen the power of Jesus' word. His teaching carried immense authority. Come follow me. And at once, fishermen got up and left their nets. Be quiet, come out of him. And an impure spirit came out of a man. I am willing, be clean. Immediately, leprosy left the man. "Son, your sins are forgiven." Jesus' words carry immense authority. Undoubtedly, Jesus would have been teaching many things. However, he would have been teaching repentance. Mark 1:15, Jesus says, "The time has come, the kingdom of God is near, repent and believe the good news." Jesus would be calling people to repentance. Julian mentioned last week that the gospel calls for repentance. It calls for us to turn from our own ways and to make God the king of our life. Have we taken that opportunity? Is Jesus nudging you to repentance today? If he is, take that opportunity. Don't leave it. Jesus will shepherd you. Turn to him. Just like the paralyzed man, Jesus deals with the heart. He can see their troubles, and so he wants to shepherd them. Do we recognize that Jesus, the God of the universe, can see our hearts? He can see our troubles. He can see the particular sin we're fighting. He can see the difficulties at work we're experiencing. He can see the deep regrets that are weighing down on us. He can see our anxieties over how we bring up the children. He can see the marital issues that we're working through. Or he can even see our desperate need for someone to come to know Jesus. Jesus can see these, and he looks on us with compassion. He sees our needs and wants to shepherd us. He wants to teach us. Comic Relief every year produces some of the most emotional video clips I have ever seen. This year's footage of Ed Sheeran has got to be up there as some of the most moving. He visited a coastal town in Liberia, and this coastal town wasn't one of the safest towns out there. They had boats on the shore pulled up for the fishermen, and among those boats were young boys. These boys would spend the night sleeping under these boats because it was the only place that they could find. These boys would be no older than 10 years old. And when Ed Sheeran saw this, he couldn't leave them because they were getting beaten up and raped regularly by gangs. He was heartbroken at what he saw. So he was willing to pay for these boys to be put up in a hotel. He couldn't leave them. They were going to be put in a hotel until future schooling and accommodation could be sorted for them. This then happens, and Ed Sheeran leaves. What an act of compassion. But do we realize that this is also how Jesus looks on us? Jesus is our compassionate shepherd. Jesus looks on us with compassion and wants to shepherd us. He wants to teach us. Are we willing to listen to him? Jesus can teach us so many things, so it's worth listening to him. If you're feeling weary today, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Maybe you're feeling lonely. Well, Jesus knows this, and he's willing to be with you. Jesus says, "Surely I will be with you always, to the very end of the age." Maybe you're anxious, and you're so anxious that it's on your mind, and it's playing on your mind right now. Well, Jesus says, "Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to his life?" That puts perspective on things, doesn't it? We're wasting our time. Jesus can teach us many things wherever we are at. He wants to compassionately shepherd us. Let's listen to him. As we pick up our Bibles daily, let's know that he is a compassionate shepherd. And let's listen to him. Okay, on to our second point now. Jesus' provisions satisfy, so trust him. Jesus' provisions satisfy, so trust him. Let's join the scene again. Let me read from verse 35. "By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. 'This is a remote place,' they said, 'and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.' But he answered, 'You give them something to eat,' they said. That would take more than a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? He asked. Go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. The disciples still haven't eaten. Imagine the noises coming from their stomach now. In fact, they're so conscious of their bellies, they're actually starting to get concerned about the crowds too. Jesus, come on, we must send these people away. They're going to be so hungry. Can you not hear their stomachs? But Jesus' response is ridiculous. Look down. Verse 37. You give them something to eat. Really, Jesus? My back would hit the back of the chair. Come on. The disciples don't get it, do they? They've been with Jesus for a while now, and yet they still don't recognize him fully. If they had, they wouldn't have been asking Jesus to send them away. Of course he could provide for this crowd. He healed sick people. He drove out demons. Of course 5,000 people could be fed. I'm sure we know this story well. 5 loaves and 2 fish are brought to Jesus. He grabs them, he looks up to the sky and gives thanks. He's totally dependent on his heavenly Father. These 5 loaves and 2 fish are then distributed among 5,000 people. You'd probably think that you'd only get a fish scale and a crumb, but no. Look down to verse 42. They all ate and were satisfied. Quite extraordinary. It defies logic. And the best thing is that there's no comment. It's almost as if it's normal. What a miracle. A good restaurant to me is quantity alongside quality. Fancy restaurants, I feel, are pretty pointless. I know, very controversial. Hear me out on this. You pay so much for the tiniest portions. It may be tasty, but you actually leave not feeling that satisfied and with your wallet weighing half the amount it was before. But Jesus, for no cost, feeds 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. This sounds like my restaurant. Quality, quantity, and free. What a miracle. Jesus' provisions met their hunger. His provision satisfied them. Clearly, the disciples still don't quite recognize Jesus. They wanted Jesus to send the crowds away so that they could feed themselves. They perhaps doubted that Jesus could provide for them. They didn't trust him. They'd never considered that Jesus is able and willing to provide. Do we perhaps share this mentality? Do we recognize that Jesus' teachings are powerful and important, but we don't recognize that Jesus is willing and able to provide? Maybe we don't trust that Jesus will provide because some of the circumstances we've been through. Maybe right now you're in financial difficulties. Maybe you haven't been too pleased with how the children's schooling has gone. Maybe a house purchase has fallen through. There are probably many things which make us doubt that Jesus will provide for us. Or maybe we're actually a step beyond that. Perhaps we don't even consider Jesus as our provider. Reading salaries are among the biggest in the UK. Berkshire promises lovely rural areas within commuter distance from London. It also provides some of the best schools in the country. Most of us here have well-paid jobs, nice homes, and a fridge full of food. And yet we completely ignore the giver of these things. We look to ourselves and forget the giver. We think that we're the provider, and we never consider Jesus' provisions for us. I know I do that. And then when trouble comes, how do we respond? Do we look within ourselves and think, I can sort this out, I can do this? Or do we pray? Do we pray and depend on Jesus to provide? I know I'm slow to pray, and I know I will often look to myself. But whether we fail to trust Jesus as our provider, or even fail to recognize him as our provider, reaffirm your trust in him today. He provides everything, and his provisions totally satisfy. You know, I've never met a Christian that has said God has let them down. That's because he doesn't. Look back on all the ways he has blessed you, and let that give you confidence as you go into the future. Maybe you're really struggling with this at the moment. Your vision is blinkered, and everything seems totally unfair. Well, if you believe in Jesus, then you know you're adopted by him. Your Father is the sovereign God of the universe, and he calls you his son and daughter. You can also know that you've been given life. When this life passes away, you will meet your Savior, and everything will be perfect. And you also know that you have a family. Look around you today. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ. You are part of a global family with God as our Father. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. This is who you are. Jesus' provisions satisfy. Trust him. In November, I was going through a pretty tough time. I was crippled by anxiety. The days seemed long, and small tasks like just checking my emails became a huge, huge burden and struggle. I'd often cry out, "Lord, what are you doing right now?" Tears were shed, and things seemed particularly tough during that time. And I couldn't see Jesus' provisions. It was like I was up on a mountainside in the clouds. My vision was completely closed off. I was in the clouds. I couldn't see anything. I felt as if there was very little that I could give thanks for. This time was so tough that actually I was signed off work for 2 weeks by the doctor. It was hard. My vision was totally blinkered. It took me perhaps a month to fully recover. And during my recovery, it was like I was bursting up through the clouds on a mountainside. And I was at the top of the mountain with the clouds below me, and I could see. I could see how God's provisions, I could see God's goodness through it all. I could see his grace, and I loved him more. And I didn't expect his provisions to come to me this way, because I guess I expected it to be easy. But Jesus provided. He was faithful. It might not be what we want or think we need, but God certainly knows what we need. It might not be what we want or think we need, but God certainly knows what we need. Friends, if your vision is blinkered, remember Jesus is still providing for you. He knows what you need. And remember how he has provided for you. Look to the cross. Know that Jesus has taken your sin on himself. Know that he has beaten death. And know that this life isn't it. Jesus' provisions satisfy. So let's trust him. Let me close this in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you were willing to step into humanity, to display your character to us through your Son, Jesus. We thank you that you are a compassionate shepherd who is willing and able to teach us. Help us to listen to you. We also thank you that your provisions fully satisfy. Help us to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.